Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? Today, the 33 square miles of Manhattan Island in New York City contains some of the world's most expensive real estate, but it wasn't always so highly valued. In 1626, the Dutch West India Company purchased Manhattan from the Native Americans for 60 guilders worth of traded goods. That's about $700 in today's money. The Indians still thought they got a great deal because they were not even living on the island. The Dutch called the settlement New Amsterdam. But a few years later, they traded Manhattan for an obscure Indonesian island that grew nutmeg. You see, back in the 1600s, the Dutch and the British were competing with each other all over the globe for control of the spice trade. The Europeans valued nutmeg for more than its distinct taste. Nutmeg was considered an aphrodisiac and a hallucinogen. People even wore bags of the spice around their neck to protect against the bubonic plague. Since then, they've learned there may even be something to that, because it seemed it was like a flea collar keeping the bubonic plague-carrying fleas away. Nutmeg was so highly coveted by the Europeans, the traders were selling it at nearly 6,000% markup. Finally, after years of bloody fighting, in 1667, the Dutch and the English sat down to hash out a treaty. The Dutch wanted the last nutmeg-producing island from the British, a place called Run, so they offered to trade Manhattan. The British weren't even that excited about the deal, but they agreed and renamed the island New York. Subsequently, what the Dutch traded for nutmeg became the first capital of the United States and one of the world's most recognized cities. Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as we present Amazing Facts and Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
You heard the number, friends. 800-GOD-SAYS. We have lines open. 800-463-7297 will bring you into the Bible Answers Live studios. If you're joining us for the first time, this is a live international interactive Bible study. You get to participate. You can listen in. You can call in with your Bible-related question. One more time. Ready? 800-463-7297 brings your question to the studio. Don't put your pen or pencil too far away, because we'll give you another resource number for free resources that we give away, as well as sometimes for great websites for Bible study. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends, and Pastor Doug, let's begin the program with prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you once again that we're able to study your word together, and we ask for your guidance as we search the scriptures. Pray that you'd give us wisdom and understanding, and lead us into a clear understanding of Bible truth. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Doug, you opened the program by talking about the cost of New York City. Well, it wasn't New York City at the time, but remarkable that it was traded for an island that could produce nutmeg. I think today, if you try to put a price tag on New York City, nutmeg would not have anything to do with it.
No,
I don't think you can put a price tag on New York City.
I don't think they had any idea. You know, the city grew far more than they had anticipated, because it ended up being a very strategic place there on the river. It was somewhat shielded, great place for trade. And they discovered later that while there wasn't an abundance of natural resources, because Manhattan was largely a rock, and by the way, I grew up there. I went to school in New York City growing up. They could build very high, because the whole island was like a foundation. And that city that they built up on, they had no idea what the future would hold. Some people don't know, New York City is where George Washington was inaugurated. Washington, D.C., of course, wasn't the capital then. The capital for the United States was New York City. And some people, when they read the Bible, they wonder, since the United States has grown into such a mega world power, is there anything in Bible prophecy that talks about the United States? And friends, if you've got that question, then we have a free offer you'll need to read, you'll really enjoy, that deals with that subject.
The study guide is called The USA in Bible Prophecy, and we'll be happy to send this to anybody who calls and asks. Our resource number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called The United States in Bible Prophecy. We'll be happy to send that to anybody who calls and asks. You can also read it for free online at the Amazing Facts website, just amazingfacts.org. And if you have a Bible question, our phone line here in the studio is 800-463-7297. Again, that's 800-463-7297 with your Bible question. Pastor Doug, we're ready to go to the phone lines. Our first caller this evening is Lauren, listening from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening.
Evening. Now, you know we're coming to Charlotte in, when is that, March 21?
March 21, yes.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a meeting. I think you've got an auditorium there called the Ovens Auditorium. And we're going to be, March 21 to 27? We'll be doing a meeting that'll be broadcast on TV called The Last Day of Prophecy. And, yeah, hope you come around. Well, you'll see more information at our website. Sorry, wait, your question tonight.
My question is in Exodus 33, verses 11 and 20, because verse 11 says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But in verse 20, it says, the Lord said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So my question is, did Moses actually see God's face? What did he mean by that?
All right. Well, keep in mind two things. One is that the Lord did speak to Moses, like you and I are talking now. They use the expression face-to-face like we do, sort of as a metaphor. It means on a personal level. Even though there may have been a cloud of glory veiling the face of God when he spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, he did talk to him personally. But then there's another verse that says, no man has seen the Father at any time. Pastor Ross, what is that, John
chapter 6, verse 46.
Yeah, no man has seen the Father. So some have seen the Son, of course we know that, and spoken to him face to face, and that's God the Son. But so Moses may have spoken to God through the glory towards his face, but the unveiled glory of God in his divinity, he said, you know, no one can see that in our sinful condition and even survive. The wonderful thing is in Revelation, again, I forget the verse, but in Revelation it says, it may be chapter 21 or 22, we will see his face, speaking about once we're redeemed and we have our glorified bodies and we're all washed from sin, we'll be able to see God face to face and God himself will dwell with us there. So, but that is a good question, because one place it says he spoke to his face, a few verses later it says, you can't see my face.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your question.
All right, our next call is Chantel, listening from Salem, Oregon. Chantel, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Evening.
I really enjoyed your your sermon this past Sabbath on talents.
Oh, you must have been watching online, because we haven't even edited that yet.
Oh, yes,
bless your heart.
It was really good.
Thank you.
My question is, could you please explain perfect love casts out fear?
Yeah, and that's in, is that 1 John? What's the verse?
Oh, I didn't write down the text.
Pastor Ross will find it. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, I think that's, you could even use the word faith there. When we love the Lord and we want to please him, then there's nothing we're afraid to do. We're nothing, no sacrifice that's too great. And so we're not afraid of going forward with anything to serve God.
And that's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18.
Thank you. 1 John 4:18. Perfectly. You want to read the whole verse? There's more to it.
Yes. It says this. It says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment.
That's the
right. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
And, you know, you can even read, Chantel, in the New Jerusalem, and again, Pastor Ross will look this up for us, it may be Revelation 22, it says, the fearful are in the lake of fire. The fearful and the unbelieving. Now, some people out there are going to say, wait a second, the Bible says we're to fear God, and then the Bible says the fearful are in the lake of fire, so which is it? Are we supposed to fear or not?
That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 8.
So there is the fear of God, which means an awe and a reverence for God and trembling at his glory. But if we fear God, we will not fear anything else. If we don't fear God, we sort of fear everything else.
Yes. Okay.
And so I think it's talking about having a life of faith where you're a God-fearing person. You're not afraid of what man might do because you have so much reverence for God.
Yes.
And those that don't have faith and they don't believe they'll be saved, they're afraid of every little shadow. Mm-hmm. They can't have peace.
Yes.
But when you've got that peace that passes understanding, perfect love casts out fear.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hey, we appreciate your call and your question tonight.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Chantel.
The next call is Kevin, listening in Alberta, Canada. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Oh, yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got a question regarding Revelation, the 1,260 days.
Okay.
I understand it is years, because a day is equal a year in prophecy, correct?
Correct.
So, from what I understand, it's already been fulfilled from the year 538 to 1798, correct?
Well, there's several time periods in Revelation that talk about 1,260 days, but anyway, okay. go ahead. The main prophecy is fulfilled. There's one.
Revelation 12 really talks about that. 1,260 days, 42 months, and 3.5 years.
Yeah, and then there's a literal 3.5 years that is also fulfilled, but it's talking about
Revelation 11,
France, French Revolution.
Okay. So what my question was, like, I understand in Revelation 13:3 it says the beast was healed, and from my understanding it was in the year 1929. So, but then it says in Revelation 13:5 it says the beast continues for another 42 months. So that 42 months converts into the 1260 days, which is the 1260 years. So I'm just wondering if I'm reading that right. So if it was healed in 1929, and then it continues for another 1,260 years, so...
No.
Are we not? Okay.
Go ahead, Pastor Ross.
Yeah, just a couple things. What we find in Revelation 13, the first part that talks about the beast that came from the sea, it's not necessarily listing everything chronological, but it's giving you certain identifying marks to identify who this power is. One of the identifying marks is that it will continue for 42 months or 1,260 years. We know that to be 538 till 1798. Another identifying mark is it receives this deadly wound, but the deadly wound is healed. And we also know from history that time period from 1798 all the way through to about 1929, the healing began. Now, the power is not completely healed because it's not back to its persecuting self that it was during the Dark Ages. So don't necessarily look at Revelation 13 here, the first part, as being chronological. Rather, it's identifying marks of who this power is.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting, David, the key to understand Revelation is knowing your Old Testament, because someone said once, and I believe it's true, that out of the 404 verses in Revelation, 278 of them can be found almost verbatim in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a time when a wicked power, namely Ahab and Jezebel, persecuted the prophets, like Elijah, who went into the wilderness during a famine, for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Except now in Revelation, it's talking about a time when the church went underground. They had to go into the wilderness for 1,260 years during the Dark Ages, and it was a time of what they call the papal persecution. And that went from 538 to 1798. Now, I'm spelling this out because I know a lot of listeners are hearing your question. They're wondering what in the world we're talking about, so I just wanted to fill that in. But we do have a lesson that talks about that time period. And is that the one on the Antichrist, Pastor?
Yeah, it's called Who is the Antichrist? And actually gets into that in Revelation chapter 13 as well as Daniel chapter 7. And if you haven't read it, Kevin, it's a great resource. The number to call for that is 800-835-6747. And you can ask for the study guide called Who is the Antichrist? And we'll be happy to send that out to you, Kevin, or anybody wants to learn more about this important prophecy. Our next call is David, and he's listening here in Sacramento, California on KFIA. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, David.
Hi.
And your question tonight.
Did Satan celebrate when Jesus died on the cross? Do you think he could have done that?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I believe that if anybody was going to celebrate, it would be the devil, because he thought that when Jesus went to the cross and when Christ cried out, "It is finished," and he died, that somehow he was going to be able to keep Jesus in the tomb, and the devil thought that he would be able to somehow seize the position or power of Christ that he had had. So, the devil was the chief perpetrator of Christ's death. He probably was very happy to inflict as much punishment as possible on Jesus. The one thing the devil wasn't very happy about, he was hoping he could get Jesus to despair and sin or curse or do something wrong before he died. And the devil could not get Jesus to sin, but he was probably glad to have him dead either way. Interesting question. I don't really have a scripture on the devil celebrating, but tells us in Revelation 12, he's come down with great wrath.
He has but a short time, yep.
Yeah, he was
cast down at the cross in a special way, at least to the earth.
Yeah.
I don't think Satan fully understood the ramifications of the death of Jesus. It seems as though he inspired. Yeah, he was inspiring those who were bringing death to Christ, and yet, in one sense, it was almost bringing an end to his dominion and his reign.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you, David. Appreciate your call.
Next caller that we have is Gary, listening from Texas. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for calling. And
yes,
your question.
Sir. I'm calling about the Mosaic Law, and I'm just wondering what's still binding. Like, we look in Leviticus 15, you can go the first verse, and it goes all the way down. If you compare that to, like, verse 13, it's talking about, you know, this man has an issue, and he's running, he's going to be unclean, and then anything he sits on is going to be unclean.
Right.
And then he'll have to bathe himself 7 days. So I'm just wondering, is that still binding? Because that doesn't seem like it has anything to do with the sacrificial system.
Well, there are several different laws that you find in the Old Testament. When I say laws, I mean categories of laws. The golden law would be, of course, love. And, you know, when Jesus said, love your neighbor and love the Lord with all your heart, he was actually quoting Moses. So the two great commandments about loving the Lord and loving your neighbor is the pinnacle. The Ten Commandments divides that, and that, of course, is eternal in nature for all mankind. First four commandments deal with loving God, the last six with loving our fellow man. And then you have you've got health laws, and some of them were sanitation laws, which may have been different than some of the dietary laws. You're looking there in Leviticus 15 at sanitation laws, which are mostly common sense. You know, the laws of Moses were so far ahead of their time, just thousands of years ahead of their time. There are even nations in the world today that don't understand simple things like burying human waste. But Moses said that. And Pastor Ross and I traveled a number of different countries, and you got to be very careful in some places because they don't understand some of these principles. But God said that to Moses. And then the idea of any human issue from the body, if you've got a sore that's weeping, that it can spread disease. The fact that he knew that you should wash with water, and these simple principles of sanitation, those are still good principles. So, of course, then you've got civil law in the Bible. You've got some of the ceremonial law that was nailed to the cross. It has to do with the sacrifices in the temple, and that when Jesus died and the veil in the temple was rent, we don't have to sacrifice lambs anymore. The ceremonial law, circumcision, that's all done away with. But the civil law of Moses, most American law is based on the principles of the civil law that God gave the Hebrews. So things like, you know, there's a difference between first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and they recognize that in the Bible. Anyway, did I answer your question?
Kind of. I don't. So is it still like it just doesn't make sense? I mean, like you said, it'd be common sense if you're dirty, you would you would clean yourself, or in the hospital setting, like I work, you would wear gloves to prevent the spread. But
we know ways today to prevent the spread of disease without isolation from the camp. Mm. You know, we have antibacterial methods and things to sterilize, and they didn't necessarily have that. So the best thing they could do to prevent a pandemic from going through the camp
is they said until you know, this running wound or whatever the problem is, or leprosy, until it's been healed or goes away and you wash with water, you shouldn't come back into the camp. And it's, you know, that was just the very basic way they had to deal with it back then. And it prevented, you know, the children of Israel were a very hardy stock because it prevented a lot of disease. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we do have we have a book that talks about the law of God, and it can divide up some of these categories. And I think it's our lesson on written in stone.
That's right, and we'll be happy to send this to you. All you'll have to do, Gary, is give us a call on our resource number. The number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called Written in Stone. You know, something else interesting, we also have a study guide called God's Free Health Plan. Also talks about health principles that you find in the Bible. And you can all ask for that when you call as well. And if you have a Bible question, the phone number here to the studio again is 800-463-7297. 800-463-7297 with your Bible question. We have Brandy listening from Seattle, Washington. Brandy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. I'm a teacher at a Christian school, and most of my students are from countries who have never heard the Bible stories or anything about the Bible. So I give worships every morning, and I'm going through the Old Testament. And I've been telling them that, you know, God won't force you to love him, that it's a freedom of choice.
Yes.
And then I got to the Ten Commandments, and I explained to them the Ten Commandments. And the children of Israel in Exodus 32:10, God's telling Moses, you know, that when they gave the golden, when they made the golden calf, that they wanted to, he wanted to destroy them.
Yeah.
And my student said, if they wanted to destroy them, if he wanted to destroy them, isn't he love? Doesn't he want to give us the freedom of choice?
Well, first of all, he did give them, that's a good question. He did give them the freedom of choice when he said, you know, do you want to follow my laws? They said, all that you said we will do. They made a covenant with him, and then they broke the covenant after he'd saved them from Egypt. And the very fact that God is talking to Moses and saying, you know, leave me alone and I'll let my wax burn against them and I'll punish them. God didn't even need to talk to Moses about it. God could blink his eyes or snap his fingers and he could have vaporized the whole nation. He wanted Moses to intervene. Moses is a type of Christ. So here Moses is, he's praying, he's interceding with God for them. And God wants to save them. He just wanted, he said, Moses, go ahead and ask me and I'll forgive them. It's, so the Lord was really inviting Moses to prevent him from judging them for what they had done.
Because, so it was because they made a covenant with him?
They had made a covenant with him in chapter 19. Then he writes it down and they agree to it in chapter 20. That's the Ten Commandments. One of them says, don't make a graven image. And then you read in 32, chapter 32 of Exodus, they made a golden calf. And it's not just the calf. They got involved in some very salacious worship. It says the people were naked. I mean, they had had a pretty riotous party and a lot of sinning going on. And so God said, look, you just made a covenant with me to be my people and be holy, and you've turned back to other gods in no time at all. I should judge you. And the penalty for sin is death because it's contagious. But Moses interceded. God wanted him to. And God forgave them and gave them many more chances.
Okay. So should I be telling my students the stories of the New Testament to show them that God is love before telling them the Old Testament of all this?
Well, you've got a lot of stories of love. You know, both are good. I mean, but you have a lot of stories of love and mercy in the Old Testament as well as the New. I mean, you know, you can just see how patient God was with this nation. And how merciful he was. And, you know, even in the New Testament, you've got plagues in Revelation. So you'll have love and mercy in both, and you'll have and judgment and plagues in both, too.
Okay.
That's a good question, though. I know it's when the kids especially ask great questions, don't they, Brandy?
Yeah.
Well, keep
Thank
up the good
so
work.
Much.
You're working with young minds that makes a difference for eternity. And so we'll pray for you.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Our next call is Deborah, listening from Detroit, Michigan. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Good Good evening.
Evening.
Thank you for answering the phone. And the question I have is a pastor that he's been a pastor for about 8-9 years at a church, and he has had control of the money, and he was stealing the money, and he's not telling the truth. So, you know, I want to know if you're at a church like that, and he asked for repentance and asked to be forgiven, but he's still not telling the truth. I mean, he's the
was
shepherd
the pastor,
over the church.
Was the pastor caught stealing?
Yes, yes, he was.
And
we
he's still the pastor?
Because we're part of the, well, we're, I'm one of the persons on the trustee board, so I know that he did this, and he admitted to doing it, but the leaders over him is saying, well, he can still be saved and be redeemed, but he's still not telling the truth.
Now, I believe he can still be forgiven and be redeemed, but if a pastor steals from a church, I would think that they would just right away say, look, that's a sacred trust you betrayed. How can you preach to other people about holiness and trust?
Right.
And I would be very concerned about letting a pastor continue serving as a pastor after he violates a trust like that. He might be forgiven by God and by the members, but he can't keep his job. I don't know, Pastor Ross, what do you think?
Right, that's what I thought.
Absolutely, right. There needs to be something set in place that maybe a probationary time or some kind of oversight. But
I'm
something would need
about,
to be done.
Yeah, if he forgets to turn in a gas receipt, we're not talking about that. We're talking about
something major.
A guy who's got his hand
in
the till and he's pocketing money.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, he'd be packing his bags in my church.
Right. And I don't know why they didn't let him do it. And see, half of us know about it. The other half of the people in the church don't know about it, so they kind of fighting against us. Like we did something wrong. He's going back telling them things like it's something that we did, making them not giving him what he got, come like his money and different things like Good Shepherd Night. And
well, you said that at one point,
anniversary.
You said he was confronted and he admitted that
he
caught stealing. Yeah,
right.
Well, that ought to go to a church in a business meeting, and I would think that would be a very serious offense, and I'd be looking for another pastor, another church or something. Hey, I appreciate your call, Deborah. We're going to be taking a break just a moment. Friends, we do have a couple more lines open. Right after a break, we'll be taking more phone calls. And that one number one more time is, with your Bible questions, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. You're listening to Bible Answers Live. If you're interested in one of the offers that we mentioned during the program, when Pastor Ross tells a particular caller about a free offer, anybody could ask for those offers. It doesn't have to be just that one caller. You can call this number, 800-835-6747, and that will take you to the free offer. And, of course, many of the free offers that we mentioned you can read or download for free at the Amazing Facts website. That's very simply amazingfacts.org. You'll not only find hundreds, literally hundreds of Bible study resources there, but there are the videos, there are audios, there are all kinds of products. It's all about evangelism and winning souls and living a godly life. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7247. 7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
And we are back with Bible Answers Live. And if you have Bible questions, that's what this program is all about. We invite you to call in with your Bible question. Free phone call, number 800-GOD-SAYS. We go to God's book for the answers. One more time, 800-463-72 with your Bible questions. Wait a second. 1-800-463-7297. I left off two digits. One little digit makes a big difference. You ever notice that in a phone number? I've missed one digit before and it wrecked the whole thing. You need that extra digit. 1-800-463-7297 with your Bible questions. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. And Pastor Doug, we're ready to go back to the phone lines. We've got Ben, who is listening from Fort Worth, Texas. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was listening. I just tuned in, actually, and I caught the tail end of a previous caller you had, one before the lady, I believe.
Yeah.
About the prophecies in Revelation, and can you what kind of proof are there that there's prophecies that have already been fulfilled
in Revelation?
Yes, didn't you say this?
Yeah. Prophecies? There's a number of prophecies in Revelation that have been fulfilled. When John gets the vision of Revelation, he said, The time is at hand, right when he had the vision. So Revelation covers a lot of prophecy that begins with the first coming of Jesus and goes to the second coming of Jesus. Of course, everyone knows that there are prophecies that talk about heaven, which is future. So a lot of Revelation still has future, but Revelation talks about a great persecution that would come to God's people during the Dark Ages. And that happened. And it gives even the time period. And from 538, and this is where they call it the papal persecution, from 538, when the Pope was given an army to correct and to persecute people that didn't cooperate, till 1798, when Napoleon broke the papal power by arresting the Pope and they kind of lost their military power over Europe, there was the Inquisition, there was just lots of persecution and darkness. Bibles were taken away from the people, and even the Catholic Church has... they publicly apologize for this age of darkness. Now, that it's interesting that that was exactly 1,260 years, which, 42 months has 1,260 days in it. And this time period is given several times in Revelation. So there are other times of persecution still in the future. Jesus talks about a great time of trouble, the great tribulation that's still in the future. But there was Christ said, you'll be hated of all nations. He told the disciples what to expect, and some of that happened, immediately after the destruction of Jerusalem.
Okay. So, do you have any literature on what you just said?
I am so glad you asked that question. Have we got literature?
I bet you do.
Are frogs waterproof? Yes, we've got a study on, I tell you what, if you would like, we'll send you the entire Prophecy Bible Study series, and it's free. And it'll give you all the dates and histories. And this isn't something that, Pastor Ross and I dreamed up. This is what Protestant theologians have studied for hundreds of years. And everyone from Charles Spurgeon to John Wesley, this is the interpretation they had of Revelation we'll be sharing. So, if you'd call Amazing Facts, or you can go online, don't need to call, you can go to BibleUniverse.com, and you can sign up for the study, do it online, or we can send them to you through the mail if you go to amazingfacts.org. Bible Universe or Amazing Facts will send you the literature.
Or you can just call the number 800-835-6747 and just tell them that you'd like to get the Bible School series, and they'll be able to sign you up right there. We do have two of those study guides that I think specifically might address this topic. The one is called Who is the Antichrist? We mentioned that a little earlier. There's another one called Right on Time that talks about some of these time prophecies. I think both of those you'd enjoy But the whole series will be very valuable in your study.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Ben. Appreciate your calling. God bless.
We're going to go to Crystal in...
My question is in Revelation 11. It talks about the two witnesses and how if anyone tries to harm them, fire will come from their mouths and devour the enemies.
Yeah.
And it talks about their bodies will lie in the public square of the great city. My question is this a physical happening or is there more of a spiritual symbolism going on?
Well, I'll tell you right now that the two witnesses are the law and the prophets. Sometimes they're figured by Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, meaning the law and the prophets support that he was the Messiah. Moses, during his time, fire came down from heaven and burnt up some of his adversaries. Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven and burnt up some soldiers that had come to arrest him. The plagues and the fire, you find them in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And so it's talking about the power of the Word of God that witnesses that Jesus is the Messiah. And we have a book on the two witnesses. We'll be happy to send you, Crystal, if you'd like a copy. Because
yes,
it's hard for us to go. There's, you know, Revelation 11's got several verses, so it's hard for us to give you a complete answer. But best thing to do is send for the free book.
I always thought that it was like a future happening, of something that, you know, because it talks about how the whole world will see. And I just figured that it was going to be something that would physically happen.
Well, some of the chapter 11, a lot of it actually has happened in an attack that occurred on the Word of God with the birth of atheism. And if you send for that book on the two witnesses, you'll learn about that. Trying to think what other lesson we've got that talks about that, specifically the two witnesses, Pastor Ross.
You know, I don't know if that's specifically part of our study guide series, but the book really does deal with that. Who are the two witnesses?
Yeah. So if you, it's called The Two Witnesses. You can read it for free online right now, or you call the resource number. We'll send you a copy.
Okay. I would love to receive a copy.
Yeah. Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. God bless.
The number to call for the book on the witnesses is 800-835-6747. Again, that's 800-835-6747. And just ask for the book. Talking about the two witnesses, we'll be able to send it to anybody who calls and asks. Our phone line here to the studio again is 800-463-7297 with your Bible question. Our next caller is Gary, listening from Texas. Gary, welcome to the program.
Gary in Abilene, are you still there?
Yeah, yep. Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Did you have another question, or I don't know if you called back?
No, I just stayed online listening.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, we apologize. All right, we're going to keep going then.
We've got John listening from Georgetown, South Carolina. John, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pat.
Evening.
Good evening. This past December, our temperatures out here have been running about 15 to 20 degrees above normal, and that brought to mind something that I had heard, and I cannot find it in the Bible, and I don't know if it's part of Sister White's writings or not, but it basically says that near the end of time, we wouldn't be able to tell the seasons, or the plants and the trees wouldn't be able to tell the seasons. Have you heard that, or are you familiar with that?
Well, there's actually a... one of the seven plagues, and you find this in Revelation 16, verse 9, it says, and men were scorched with great heat. I'm trying to remember, which plague? Is this the fourth plague? Yeah, I think so. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with great heat, with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had power over these plagues. I'm just laughing because that would be what you call global warming, is when the fourth plague is poured out. You know, that would obviously affect the seasons. And so some have wondered if, you know, these record-breaking heat waves are a sign of that. I don't think so, because it is certainly, you know, it is getting hot. But at the same time, there are other parts of the country that are having record-breaking freezes. So it does seem like the planet's regular cycles are kind of wobbling. But... I think when the fourth plague is poured out, people are going to really know. I think it's going to be like lethally hot.
You know, there is an interesting verse where the Bible speaks of the earth waxing old like a garment. Mm-hmm. So it seems as though just the typical seasons or the movements of the weather, it seems like near the end, it's as if the world's almost getting overwhelmed. It's getting old, as the Bible says.
Yeah. And, you know, it tells us in the beginning that the sun lights in the firmament, the sun and the moon, would be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And it seems like now as we near the end, the seasons are changing. It does also say the sun will go dark and the moon will turn to blood before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So there's going to be changes in the heavens. Hey, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much, John.
And the phone line here to the studio with your Bible question is 800-463-7297. That's 800-GOD-SAYS, 463-7297. We have Tommy listening from Otter Banks, North Carolina. Tommy, welcome to the program.
Good evening, pastors. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I was curious, back in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed Israel, I was wondering if y'all think there's any parallel or correlation between that and the second coming of Christ.
You know, I do think there is. Matter of fact, in Matthew 24, when the disciples are talking to Jesus about the end of the world, they ask about, you know, Christ makes a prediction. He said, there will not be left here one, and that's Matthew 24, verse 2. They show him the temple, and Jesus said, don't be amazed by this, because there's not going to be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And then they said, Lord, when is this going to be? What will be the sign of these things, the destruction of Jerusalem, and your coming in the end of the world? Jesus lumps his answer together because some of the same things that happened to the Jewish nation before the destruction of Jerusalem will happen on a global level before the second coming. And it's interesting that Christ said, this generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Jesus foretold that the destruction of the temple would happen before a generation passed. A generation biblically is 40 years. He made this prophecy in 30 AD. 40 years later, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed and not one stone was left upon another. The reason for that is because when the Roman soldiers burnt the temple, all the gold got so hot that, like lead, gold has a low melting temperature, it just melted and seeped into the cracks of the stone pavement. And in order for the soldiers to recover all of the melted gold, they basically had to topple every stone in the temple. Now, the persecution of Christians that happened before the destruction of Jerusalem, that will happen again. The same way that the Romans surrounded the Jewish nation and hedged them in, and there was a great time of trouble in Jerusalem during that that siege, that's going to happen in the world. God's people will be hedged in with laws and persecution just before Jesus comes. So I believe there are parallels, Tommy. I don't know, Pastor Ross, if you want to add to that or...
Well, no, absolutely. The question the disciples asked was on the one hand related to Jerusalem, and the other was, and the sign of your coming. They equated the destruction of Jerusalem with the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. They didn't realize that there's almost 2,000 years in between the two events. And when Jesus answered the question, he addressed both with reference to the destruction of Jerusalem and the second coming, because they asked those two questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate your question, Tommy. We have a lesson that deals with the second coming and the signs of the second coming. And I believe that one is called, is it the Ultimate Deliverance?
Let's see. I'm actually thinking of the...
Go ahead.
I'm thinking of the other book, too. The one is called Ultimate Deliverance. That's the study guide. But we have one called Anything But Secret.
Right.
Talking about
true.
The second coming of Christ. This whole book just dedicated to that subject. We'll be happy to send that to you, Tommy, or the lesson dealing with the second coming called The Ultimate Deliverance. The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is our resource phone line, and you can ask for the book called Anything But Secret and the study guide, The Ultimate Deliverance, talking about the second coming of Christ. And if you have a Bible question, again, that number is 800-463-7297. 800-463-7297. Our next caller is Stephen, listening in Savannah, Georgia. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Evening.
Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Pastor, in regard to Genesis 1:29, where God made every herb-bearing seed as a food.
Yes.
And when somebody uses that, in defense of medical marijuana. How do I refute that?
Well, having it made for food, he's talking about the ones that were obviously the fruit. People don't eat the fruit of marijuana. Matter of fact, in the beginning, vegetables weren't even added to the diet until after sin. After man sinned, God says, now you can eat the herb of the field. But the definition for the food in the beginning was fruits and grains and nuts. Marijuana, you know, people are not eating that for nourishment. They're doing it for medicinal reasons or for the, you know, the drug effect. I think that some of the arguments that are made, you know, every drug has, it'll alter the body some way and it may show some benefit for a medical condition, but there's always going to be some opposing deficit to any drug. But not so with nutritional foods. There are no side effects to eating a banana or an apple. There's no withdrawal symptoms. Your IQ doesn't drop and you don't have to study your tennis shoes for 15 minutes to figure out how to lace them again after eating an apple. So, yeah, I think, what's that?
Experience in the cave yourself?
Yeah, that's from firsthand experience, I'm sorry to say, but I finally gave up smoking pot because I just realized, this is years ago, but I gave it up because I realized all on my own that it didn't make me much smarter and I needed all the help I could get. But most of my friends I know that are signing up for medical marijuana, it has nothing to do with medicine. Anyway, just sign of the times. Hey, thank you, Stephen. Appreciate your call.
We have Kim who's listening from Alabama. Kim, welcome to the program. Kim, you're on the air.
Kim from Alabama might have the mute on. Been waiting patiently.
There we are.
Hey.
Hi. I wanted a question about my daughter was talking, and she was saying about Jesus and God is not the same person.
Uh-huh. Well, God, tell your daughter that God is sort of like, think about the last name. In a family, you could have the mother and the father and the children. You got three people. They could all be the Smiths. God is a term that describes God the Father and God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. They all have the attributes of God, being all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. And so Jesus is God the Son, who is a distinct, separate person from God the Father. Now, one thing you can show your daughter that will help her understand that is you can go to the verse in Matthew chapter 3, and I think it's verse 16, where Jesus is baptized, and it says he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down. God's voice then says, this is my beloved Son. And so you get a picture of God the Father, Son, and Spirit all in one short passage. Then, of course, when Jesus says, go baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, in the beginning, when he created, you can tell your daughter, God says, let us, that's plural, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God is saying, let us. There's more than one there. I think the word is Elohim, which is a plural. So I don't know if that helps a little, Kim. We do have a free book we can send you on the subject of the Trinity. It's very easy to understand, and I think your daughter would appreciate it too.
Yes, I would like the book. How would I go about getting it?
Give us a call on our resource line, and we'll be happy to send it to you. The number is 800-835-6747. Again, that's 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book on the Trinity, and we'll be happy to send that to you.
Appreciate your call.
Thanks for your call. Our next caller this evening is Daniel, listening from Michigan. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Evening.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, Daniel.
Okay. I want you to cite one verse from any prophet who used the name G-O-D.
Well, the God, of course, is an English word.
Right.
They used so when the Bible was written, it was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and so they would
Who first used the name?
They would be using the word, you know, everything from El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim,
right,
Jehovah.
I'm familiar with all that.
So what are you asking is who is the first one to use the word God?
Yeah, who created the name G-O-D?
Well, that's an English word connected with the word good.
Okay, so that's not authentic Hebrew name. Am I correct? No prophet. No prophet used the word G-O-D. Am I right?
You're right. They didn't speak English.
Case closed.
So do you think there's something wrong with using the word God?
Yeah, because it's not authentic. No prophet used that name.
So do you think that we need to speak in Hebrew when we read the Bible?
No. When prophets have the ability to receive communication from the Creator. Correct.
Yeah, but
so that name those
doesn't God expect
names,
people?
G-O-D is not authentic.
Who was it that changed people's languages at the Tower of Babel? Was it God or the devil?
I'm sorry?
When people's languages were confounded at the Tower of Babel, who was behind that, God or the devil? God said, let us go down and confound their languages. So God confused the languages, and everybody speaks different languages. God expects us to address him in our native tongue. If an angel would appear to me right now, he would not speak to me in Hebrew. If God was going to send me a message, I hope he'd send it to me in English. If it was Spanish, I'd get some of it. But if he spoke in Hebrew or Latin, I'd be in trouble. So when we translate the Bible, we use English words. So why would that bother you that we use the word God for God's name?
I think a translation is, I think, forgive me for saying this to you, but I think we may disagree about this, but I think that, I know what you're saying, but I disagree. I think that Hebrew is authentic and these translations are not. No, your turn.
Well, I think that when we read the Bible, and I don't know if you speak Hebrew, but when we read the Bible, we read a translation of the Bible into our native tongue. And there's certainly nothing wrong with whenever you get to the word God, if you wanted to use the Hebrew and call him Yahweh, or we're not even sure exactly how to pronounce that, or Elohim, but it's translated into English. You know, we get this question periodically, Daniel. I actually wrote a book. I'll send you a free copy. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's simply called The Name of God. And if you call the resource line, we'll send you a free copy of that. You can have the hardcover in your hands, or you can read it online.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. You can just ask for the book On the Names of God, and we'll be happy to send that to you, Daniel, or anybody who calls and asks. It's a great resource, and it's solidly biblical and has a lot of great information. So give us a call, 800-835-6747. That is the resource line, and you can just ask about that book, and we'll send it out to you. You know, Pastor Doug, you also mentioned a little earlier a website that would be a great resource for folks to take a look at, BibleUniverse.com.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of Bible study resources there. Matter of fact, people can study the Bible there in a number of different languages, everything from Norwegian to Farsi to, we even have an Arabic website. We have a Chinese website. That's actually, amazing fact, second most popular website.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Is our Chinese website, and it is growing, as they used to say, like gangbusters. So you can check that out. I don't know if we want to just try and cold turkey take one more call before we run out of time.
Let's see if Pastor, I'm looking. We got 2 minutes to go. That'll probably cut somebody off halfway through the program. You know, why don't we take the time just to talk a little bit about some upcoming events? Some of our listeners who might be in the area might find it of interest or help. We are planning to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. We mentioned this a little early in the program.
That's right.
In March 21, it's actually a Monday, and we'll be starting a 7-part series dealing with the last day of prophecy.
Yeah, this is going to be a new series unlike anything we've done before. We're going to be talking about some of the biblical cycles that you find, some of the patterns that are some of the keys to understanding last day prophecy. We'll be talking about the war over worship, the mark of the beast, and the seal of God, and a number of other interesting studies. So if you go to the Amazing Facts website and stay tuned, this will also be broadcast on 3ABN. It'll be on Amazing Facts TV. It'll be on Hope Channel. It'll be broadcast all over the world, the last day of prophecy with Amazing Facts. And we pray that you'll tune in. You'll tell all of your friends and enemies. If you don't have any friends, tell them.
And again, the website there, just go to the Amazing Facts website. We will have a separate dedicated website for this program. I believe it's up and running, but you'll be able to access it from the Amazing Facts website.
Absolutely. Well, listening friends, we appreciate your calling, and we have a few closing announcements we'll be sharing with you. Do remember to go to amazingfacts.org. If you've been blessed by the program, please keep in mind, the best giving often happens at the end of the year in December. January can become a very lean month for Christian ministries. Maybe you've not done anything before to help our ministry or others stay on the air. This would be a good month. If you could do something, the Holy Spirit touches you, we would sure appreciate it. Simply go to amazingfacts.org and you can click the donate button there. We appreciate it so much. And God bless you. You have a blessed new year in Jesus.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible. A new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.